Have you added up what you pay for phone service lately? It's astronomical. This is Robert Scrobe, your host here on Business Nation Radio. And I went through my business, just kind of looking at budgets and planning for next year, and realized the astronomical increase in the phone light item just over the last few years. I still have all my landlines, you know, normal phone lines going into my office that I always have. And, you know, of course, there's no long distance like there used to be. That's gone, or, you know, very, very small, depending on, you know, whether how you've got your long distance organized. But the cell phones, I've got a BlackBerry. My wife has an iPhone. We've got two other iPhones. I mean, those things are over $100 a month. It's astronomical how the phone bill has increased, skyrocketed. You looked at long distance rates and you thought that they were all going down, and now all of a sudden, you know, with cell phones, it's going up. However, Metro PCS is their founder, Roger Lindquist. It was reported in Forbes magazine this month how he is working to create a phone system that would go back to $20, $30 a month. And on your phone bill, rather than you paying for a plan of minutes, all you would need is the data. See, right now on an iPhone or a BlackBerry, you have to pay for the phone service, and then you have to pay for a separate internet service. Well, with digital calling, the reality is the phone service, you talking, is really just another application of the internet. And so you could connect to the internet, or you could have phones that connect through Wi-Fi, and you'd never need to have the phone service. So it's interesting how that entire industry is facing a disruption, and the spiraling prices that we saw, the spiraling down prices that we saw in the long distance bill in the 90s, you know, in the 2010 through 2015, we're going to see the same thing, the same shakeup within the phone industry, which made me question, what can I do to completely shake up and replace the entire economic structure of my industry? What can you do? What are, you think, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. But when you raise the question and you kind of work with it a little bit and say, all right, well, how will I? I know the answer. Now, how will I shake up the entire industry? Because that's really what it's about, is coming up with an advantage, a change, a unique way of doing business that completely replaces everything else. I mean, look at cable TV. At first, it was about delivering the channels, you know, broadcast channels a little bit better, but then it became about something else entirely, which was thousands of channels. And then it became about something different again, which was channels and entertainment on demand. And so what can you do within your industry? What are some ways that people are doing business that you can completely shake up? Are there things that you should be giving away for free that customers are now used to paying for? Are there new enhancements? One of the things that Roger Lindquist is doing with Metro PCS is focusing on where people are calling and making a lot of calls. And he will put very little towers in places where there's a lot of calls. And those little towers enable him to operate a lot less expensively than his competitors. So are there, what innovations can you make that can completely disrupt your cost structure, maybe give away some things for free, and change your industry? I know I'm working on a few things. There's some things that have been given away for free that I'm going to put into some limited edition programs and be able to sell. There's other things that other people have been selling for years and making a lot of money. And I think I'm going to work on delivering those as a free gift when you buy my systems and when you buy my products. So what can you do to completely disrupt what your customers are doing? If they're offering service contracts, well, maybe you ought to give away the service contract as part of the repair and focus on getting the job and try to disrupt their profit center. That's an interesting thought. I would be curious to hear what you have to say and what your thoughts on this and what your ideas are for completely disrupting your competitors. On today's program, we've got author of a book about Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand is the author of Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead, and we've got a new biography about her. Also coming up, some interesting insights on the self-help industry coming from John Curtis, president of the organization Americans Against Self-Help Fraud. All that and more coming up on today's Business Nation Radio after this. This is Business Nation Radio. I am Robert Scrobe. One of the most difficult things in business is to get attention. You're laboring away, doing great work. You're providing better service than anybody. You're providing better products. But yet, nobody knows about it. They don't know that you exist. I mean, can you blame them? I mean, your customers are getting barraged by thousands of marketing messages, and they've just kind of tuned them out. Yeah, I know you have, too. I mean, think of your life and the people that are trying to get your attention. What is it that they have to go through? You probably have spam blockers. You probably have a DVR where you skip past the commercials, or maybe you don't watch that much TV at all. You know, you've got iPods, so you don't have to listen to commercials. You've got all these, you got people helping you screen your calls, or you're looking at the caller ID before you answer the phone to determine whether or not it's a friend or somebody trying to sell you something. You know, you got all of these protections, all of these guards up all the time in order to try to protect yourself from interruption, protect yourself from people trying to sell you something. Well, your customers have done the same thing. And all of us have created these little mechanisms that as soon as we see something that doesn't apply to us, we tune it out. Boom, we're gone. We're not paying attention. We're on to something else. And how do you break through all of that? How do you, as a marketer, as a business person trying to get attention, break through that protection and get somebody's attention? Well, my good friend Bill Glazer actually wrote a book about this very topic called Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful. And in his book, he actually has quite a few lessons that I want to share with you today. And outrageous, he has, you know, what outrageous marketing, outrageous advertising is all about is doing crazy, loony things in your marketing that breaks free and gets people to pay attention when they wouldn't otherwise pay attention. So, outrageously effective marketing lesson number one, the envelope. You know, this is when you're sending a direct mail, you're sending a mail piece or a letter or anything to a potential customer, the first thing you need to do is to get the person to open it. Yeah, it's like we kind of assume that somebody's going to open a letter when we send it to them, but we can't. We have got to make the outside of that envelope so appealing, so, you know, thing that they just can't wait to open, you know, because of course they sort their mail over the trash can just like you do. And, you know, do you judge mail by looking at it from the outside to determine whether or not you'll even open it? So does your customer. Well, so what some things that you could do in your envelope, put funny stamps instead of running it through the postage meter when you know you're going to send a marketing piece. You know, there can be a Bart Simpson stamp or a weird flower or a love stamp or, you know, something that just kind of gets their attention. Also, don't be afraid of using multiple stamps. Even if you have to pay a little more, it'll be worth it if you get the letter open. Also, scrawl a little note on the outside of the envelope. If you're trying to do these things in bulk, well, then get that note printed on the outside of the envelope or print it at the same time as the address. And also hand address the envelope or have somebody do it for you. Also, there's fonts for Microsoft Word or something. If you're doing a mail merge, you can make it look hand addressed, or you could get your mail company to do it. But those fonts help you get attention. All right, outrageously effective marketing lesson number two, testimonials. Always use testimonials from your customers. Let them see what other customers experience when they do business with you. That is a great way to break through the clutter. Because what gets said about you is much more powerful than what you say about yourself. And number three, a zany newsletter. Now, I give advice to a lot of business owners to publish a newsletter. And man, I understand. It is difficult and a pain to get out a lot of times. But make it, and then when they do it, they make it all about their business. So if it's about CPA, they talk all about financial matters. Or if it's a auto repair, they talk about auto repair stuff. Instead, make it fun. Make it an insurance word of the month or a car repair word of the month, or talk about news or talk about fast cars or a car you drove or the funniest situation you had in your business. That's the kind of thing that people want to read about. But that newsletter in front of them all the time will get their attention and keep them coming to you. And keeping you coming to this program, our guest today on Business Nation Radio is Ann Heller, author of a book about Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand, of course, was the biggest cheerleader for capitalism in our world today. And as well as John Curtis, who is the president of Americans Against Self-Help Reform, will have some cautionary tales about falling into the grasp of the self-help gurus and what you can do to really find the help and support that you really need. It's going to be a great program today. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I certainly am very curious to hear from Ann Heller about Ayn Rand, because those books are spectacular. I've enjoyed Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged myself, and I know a lot of listeners had. And even if you haven't, we're going to tell you who Ayn Rand is and what it means all after this. Just a couple of years ago, I discovered how to triple my fees, and my customers were never happier. But then I discovered an ugly truth. As long as my income depended on my labor, I was going to be stuck forever. Didn't matter how much I charged, it wasn't enough, because if I took a vacation, my income stopped. If I got sick, my business was closed. I was on a grind treadmill with no way off. But then I figured it out. I figured out a system that allows you to work once and get paid many times for your labors. And I actually recorded a special video that shows you how several people packaged what they know into information products so that they could do the labor once and get paid many times. There's a special website set up with this video. It's at guruquick.com. That's guruquick.com. At that video, I show you several ways that you can create your own products, how you could package them and make them available for sale. This allows you to take what you know and make it available so that people can buy it and consume it without you having to spend your time and labor. You can create the product once and sell it many times. The margins are great because you're selling paper and ink and CDs. Or even better, you're selling downloadable ebooks over the internet. You know what the markup is for a downloadable ebook? Well, I tell you, it's all profit. And I can tell you how you can create an all-profit business. And I set up a special video at guruquick.com. That's GuruQuick.com. Check it out so you could break the chains of time and money. And so you could do the work once and get paid many times. The website again is guruquick.com. Check it out today. When your customers are being barraged with marketing advertisements from every assorted customer, Budweiser, PayPal, Amazon, goodness knows, Geico, all of these companies are barraging your customers with marketing messages. How are you supposed to stand out and get attention when you've got all of these other competitors, not just within your business, but also outside of your business, competing for the attention of your customer? Well, let me tell you, it is through the book Outrageous Advertising, Marketing That Is Outrageously Successful by my friend Bill Glazer. He authored this book after reviewing thousands of marketing pieces, taking the things that he was successful with, getting customer attention in his retail business as well as others. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful by Bill Glazer. Pick it up today. Adam Smith is commonly known as the father of capitalism. His book, Wealth of Nations, outlined a bold, for its time, new economic system that grew by giving business owners the freedom to pursue their own self-interest. And if Adam Smith was the father of capitalism, then Ayn Rand, author of the book Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, was capitalism's biggest cheerleader. Joining us today on Business Nation Radio is Ann Heller, who is the author of the new biography about Ayn Rand called Ayn Rand and the World She Made. And of course, it's on its way up the bestseller lists. Ms. Heller, welcome to Business Nation Radio.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be with you.
Now, Ann, is your new career direction writing biographies about other Anns? Is Ann Coulter?
We don't spell our name the same way, Ayn and I.
No, of course not. But I didn't know if maybe Ann Coulter or Anne Hathaway or maybe Anne Frank books are on their way.
Well, that's a good idea.
Of course, Ayn Rand spells her name A-Y-N, and our my guest today, Ann Heller, spells her book A-N-N-E. So when you go to Amazon.com or you go to Borders or the bookstore looking for the book about Ayn Rand, the author's name is spelled A-N-N-E-H-E-L-L-E-R. Now, Ann, of all of the fellow Anns you could have written about, what is it about Ayn Rand that you felt that she needed a biography about her today?
Well, there are a few reasons. One is that she has never had her own biography, and she's one of the most important thinkers, or the most influential thinkers in 20th century America.
Why is she so influential?
Well, they say that William F. Buckley has been is the cultural hero of free market capitalism, mm-hmm. but that Ayn Rand is the great communicator of its virtues and principles.
And so what did her books start? What is it about her that, you know, why is she so popular today? What is it she started here?
Well, she wrote the Fountainhead, and then later Atlas Shrugged, with reference to FDR and his new welfare state sorts of programs. Mm-hmm. And we're in a period where that kind of program looks more tempting to the government than it has for a long time.
Okay.
And her arguments are, she makes such strong arguments against that way of thinking that people are reading her again, I think.
So you had mentioned before that she hadn't had a biography about her before, that, you know, otherwise, you know, any other biographies have either been written by people with a particular axe to grind, either trying to support her or trying to tear her down, and that your attempt was to come at it from a more independent outlook. What were some of the other reasons you thought it was important to have a biography about Ann today?
Well, for one thing, the people who knew her best in the 1950s and 60s, even some from the 1940s, are quite elderly, and they won't be around forever. It seemed important to me to get their recollections on the record. Hmm. And second, the Russian government archives and other archives have opened up in the last 10 years. They're still in the process of opening. And so her early history, she was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, could be documented for the first time, and I spent about 2.5 years with Russian research team unearthing details of her early life.
Well, if somebody's not familiar with Ayn Rand and some of the things that she talks about in her books, what are some of the things that they'll find when they go and pick up a copy of Atlas Shrugged or Fountainhead?
Atlas Shrugged in particular is probably the greatest anti-collectivist novel ever written. It's a rip roaring plot that basically takes apart the slogan from each according to his ability to each according to his need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fabulously exciting novel of ideas.
And
The Fountainhead is a novel that concentrates more on the rights of the individual. Ayn Rand called herself a radical individualist. And The Fountainhead is her novel about an architect who will not be stopped and will not be controlled. And he's her individualist hero.
And certainly Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand is one of my favorite books. And certainly, you know, she relates in there a story about a particular factory that had gone through this kind of trying as an experiment to try collectivism versus everybody being rewarded based on their ability. What happened when everybody started, you know, they started paying based on need instead of paying employees based on performance and productivity?
Well, given that people like to earn money as much as they can, mm-hmm. people began to concentrate on having needs rather than having talents and producing a lot, because that's what they were paid for. Mm. So before very long, the only people who were left working to support the whole crew were the people who found work in itself valuable. And those people felt that they were being overworked and underappreciated, and the whole enterprise fell down. It's a really brilliant deconstruction of the communist philosophy. Mm-hmm. You can't feel the same way about it again if you ever looked on it fondly.
Absolutely. Well, the book is Ayn Rand and the World She Made, authored by my guest here on Business Nation Radio, Ann Heller. It's available in Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and Borders or Borders.com. I encourage you to check it out, and I look forward to, in the next segment, we're going to really dig into the biography and some of the really interesting, unexpected discoveries that you'll find when you pick up Ann's new book, and we'll have that coming up. Also coming up on Business Nation Radio, my next guest is John Curtis, who is the head of Americans Against Self-Help Fraud. It's kind of another interesting look on individualism. That and more coming up on this episode of Business Nation Radio. Will you hang out with us, Ann?
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Just a couple of years ago, I discovered how to triple my fees, and my customers were never happier. But then I discovered an ugly truth. As long as my income depended on my labor, I was going to be stuck forever. Didn't matter how much I charged, it wasn't enough, because if I took a vacation, my income stopped. If I got sick, my business was closed. I was on a grind treadmill with no way off. But then I figured it out. I figured out a system that allows you to work once and get paid many times for your labors. And I actually recorded a special video that shows you how several people packaged what they know into information products so that they could do the labor once and get paid many times. There's a special website set up with this video. It's at guruquick.com. That's guruquick.com. At that video, I show you several ways that you can create your own products, how you could package them and make them available for sale. This allows you to take what you know and make it available so that people can buy it and consume it without you having to spend your time and labor. You can create the product once and sell it many times. The margins are great because you're selling paper and ink and CDs. Or even better, you're selling downloadable ebooks over the internet. You know what the markup is for a downloadable ebook? Well, I tell you, it's all profit. And I can tell you how you can create an all-profit business. And I set up a special video at guruquick.com. That's GURUQUICK.com. Check it out so you could break the chains of time and money. And so you could do the work once and get paid many times. The website again is guruquick.com. Check it out today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, the ultimate no-holds-barred, kick-butt, take-no-prisoners guide to really getting rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees. They get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy, available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. Congress is debating health care reform for weeks. Proponents are calling it badly needed reforms of an inefficient system, while opponents are calling it a government takeover of health care. However, the entire debate is hauntingly similar to the one played out in the book Atlas Shrugged, authored by Ayn Rand. Joining us here on Business Nation Radio is Ann Heller, author of the just-published biography of Ayn Rand, titled Ayn Rand and the World She Made. Welcome, Ann, to Business Nation Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Now, of course, there's a lot of us Ayn Rand fans who tune in to Business Nation Radio. Now, what are some of the surprising revelations that they're going to learn about when they check out your book?
Well, for one thing, they may not know that she spent 21 years of her life in Russia and was 12 years old when the Russian Revolution happened right in her very city and practically under her eyes. In that revolution, her father lost his pharmacy business. Mm-hmm. And something that is seared in my memory that I discovered and was seared in hers is a scene in which the red soldiers come to close up her father's shop. She happens to be in the shop that day. And she never forgot her father's anger and helplessness and humiliation. And I think that there are some scenes in Atlas Shrugged that reenact that kind of thing and get it right this
time.
Wow,
that's interesting. Now, how did the Russian Revolution, you know, what was that, and what, you know, why would that have played such a role in Ayn Rand's thinking and philosophy?
Well, she saw that she saw the hypocrisy of it. Needless to say, that it was all based on something that she called altruism, with a very acid expression later on. But really, it was about power grabbing.
Right.
You know, the rich are supposed to give to the poor, but who really actually benefits? The people who have taken power. She liked to say, anybody who tells you to give to the state either is the state or wants to be the state. And that's what she came away with.
Wow. And so, of course, that was the takeover of Lenin, which led to years of communism. So in many ways, she saw the birth of communism as well as the propaganda. And I couldn't help but think that, as she wrote her book, it was almost prophetic about how the arguments that were pronounced by the government characters within her book are so very similar to the arguments espoused by leaders in the House of Representatives or the White House today. It's almost interesting that how could she have known back in the 30s that this is what people would be saying here in 2009, but evidently these are not new arguments. They're kind of a rehash of the same stuff that she saw back in the revolution.
It's absolutely true. But she was the first to record the behavior of such people and the psychology of such people. One of the things that her villains are always trying to avoid having to take responsibility for anything.
Mm.
And it seems to me that our Congress sometimes behaves in the same way. There are really remarkable parallels in Atlas Shrugged and the world in which we find ourselves living right now.
Now, I there's rumors out that Angelina Jolie is scheduled to play the protagonist role in a movie version of Atlas Shrugged. Do you have any insight on that?
Well, I certainly hope it's true. I know that there's been a lot of discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Lionsgate, which is going to produce the movie, had a writer and a director on board. But I think that those people are in the process of being replaced, so it's hard to say when or even whether the movie will be made. I hope so.
Yeah.
There never has been a movie made of Atlas Shrugged. And one can understand the difficulties, but it would be fabulous to see it on the on the big screen.
Anything else that what are some surprising things that that folks will realize and discover that they wouldn't have thought about Ayn Rand?
Well, one of the things I tried to do in the book was to place her in historical and personal context, so that, you know, I trace her ideas from her experience in Russia to the writing of Atlas Shrugged. But I also portray America in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s as a place that was quite hostile to the kinds of ideas that Ayn Rand had, and really treated her quite harshly.
Hmm.
Also, of course, she could be harsh herself, and in the second part of her life, as she gathered more and more admirers, she could be very tough on them. She was very demanding, and in the end, she was very lonely. But she certainly accomplished a lot.
Now, did she get criticism because she was hostile, or was she hostile because she got so much criticism?
I think probably the latter more than the former, because most of her critics never met her.
Okay.
They merely read her books. The people who did meet her and surrounded her adored her, and many of them stayed for a long, long time in her orbit, even though she was very hard to get along with, and she demanded loyalty, and she demanded conformity, which is an ironic thing from a proponent of individualism.
Now, my next guest is John Curtis with Americans Against Self-Help Fraud. You know, what do you think Ayn Rand would look at the death at the Sweat Lodge and the growth of the coaching business as something that's good and helpful, as a free enterprise, or as people not relying on themselves and surrendering their independence to somebody else?
I think Ayn Rand would say that if you can earn money at it, that means people want what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not in dispute. Wow. But I think she would react just as you say to the lack of standing on your own two feet, knowing what you want, having a vision of the future, and going right toward it.
Well, Ayn Rand certainly had a vision of the future, as well as predicting a lot of the arguments used by proponents of government programs. She also predicted what would happen as a result of those takeovers. The biography is Ayn Rand and the World She Made, authored by Anne Heller, a tomb of great information and insight into Ayn Rand, how she came about her ideas, and how important those ideas have been in directing policy today. Thank you so much for being my guest today on Business Nation Radio.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back with John Curtis, president of Americans Against Self-Help Fraud, after this. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing, and at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business-building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get-Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website and understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.ayn rand.com. internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today. The one book that I recommend above all others is Robert Cialdini's Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. In this book, Dr. Cialdini reviews several different ways that you can influence the behavior of other people. Can you imagine reaching out and getting somebody to do something because they want to do it? And it's all in this book. This book is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, really booksellers everywhere. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it's all about getting people to do what you want them to by convincing them that it's something that they've wanted to do all the time. It's pure magic. And Robert breaks down each of the methods of influence, the ways that you can do it, and also he tells a lot of great stories to make it easy to understand. Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Go out to a bookstore near you or Amazon.com and get it today. You see all those self-help gurus, folks teaching you how to succeed. And of course, there's no book bigger other than the Holy Bible than Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. But do those folks who write those self-help books have your best interests at heart, or is it their own? Well, my next guest, John Curtis, he's with an organization called Americans Against Self-Help Fraud, and he's asking the question, is all this self-help really helpful, or is it actually destructive? Now, John, welcome to Business Nation Radio.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, you know, so tell me, why do you question the help here? I mean, it seems like, you know, these folks are giving advice like how to set goals and things like that. Is that really all that destructive?
And no, it's not destructive at all. The main reason that I am concerned about the whole movement, which has really become what I would call the self-help industrial complex, is that those common sense suggestions and ideas and life experiences that are the same, I would really defy anybody that's listening now to send me one concept that they learned from a guru that is anything new or truly different. Now, I'm not meaning to say you can't gain from other experts. I'm simply saying start with the people in your own family, your circle of friends, your neighborhood, your community. You don't need to be spending thousands of dollars gaining concepts that are common sense available for everybody free of charge. So it's really become one of those things of taking that which is free, repackaging it and selling it back to us, and it's our own common sense, and we've lost our ability to tap into that.
So why is all this stuff popular all of a sudden? If it's common sense, then why do people seek it out and buy it in such great number? I gotta tell you, John, I probably have, I don't know, maybe 100 different self-help books on my shelf. So, you know, what is it about me that makes it so compulsive that, man, I want to learn how to communicate better? Or, oh, you know, how do I set these goals again? What is it about me that makes me want to buy all these self-help books and guides?
Well, there are a couple things. One is the ability to do slick marketing. See, what's happened, the self-help movement arguably began in the 1960s when there was the proverbial raising of our levels of awareness and our raising of our consciousness. Now, some of that would have been, you know, Tim Leary and LSD at Harvard and Woodstock, right, and that whole era of opening up. You know, we had the women's movement, we had the civil rights movement, we had the liberalization of our society in general, including how we think and conceive sort of our world views. And there were early on, there were some individuals who, and this is one key criteria, who had the education in the area of psychology, for example, that began to question the status quo, began to write books about, you know, Abraham Maslow is a popular one that you hear a lot about, who talked about raising levels of awareness, and he introduced this concept called self actualization.
Right.
So what's happened now and why the self-help industrial complex has sort of kicked in is modern slick marketing says to you, your life can be more better different if you buy what I've got. And so the convincing of and this is really the fundamental issue here with the marketing, is to convince us that our current model, not unlike automobile advertising, our current life, in other words, is not good, mm-hmm. is not happy, is not satisfying. And somehow or another, for $19.95 or $1,995, you can have a life that is. So the marketers have convinced us, just like any marketing, is that you don't have the latest, you don't have right. the best, your life could be better well, if you buy this new thing. That's well, one key premise.
Well John, it's kind of neat going back to the 60s, and it's almost kind of like blaming it on the baby boomers. It's like we blame everything else on the baby boomers. My guest is John Curtis with the Americans Against Self-Help Fraud. If you want more information about self-help frauds and the things that John is doing in order to alert his readers to this issue, you can visit his website at selfhelpfraud.com. Now, John, isn't this more demand-driven? I mean, is it really convincing people that they have a life that they don't like, or is it that people really are frustrated and concerned and are looking for something, and that this self-help industrial complex is simply responding to the demand that's out there?
Well, exactly. That's really sort of the other side of the equation. Premise number one is the marketing has to convince you, separate you from your current level of satisfaction in your life, whatever it may be. And it may not be a very satisfactory life. You may have, you know, because nobody wants to hear that, you know, the famous line that Jack Nicholson said in the movie, you know, this may be as good as it gets.
Exactly.
But for a lot of people, this may be as good as it gets. So it's like, no, I don't want to hear that answer. Give me something different. And so the self-help movement comes along and says, yes, I can fulfill that unwanted need that you have. I can make you happier or healthier. And it's a lot of the same sort of kind of the angle that the fad diet industry has, which is the other, the only thing that fails more than self-help are fad diets. Now, the self-help industry is about $12 billion a year. That's with a B. The fad diet industry is nearly twice as much, about $23 billion spent last year on fad diets.
But the only reason that fad diets exist is because people don't want to listen to the advice, which is eat less and exercise more. And so it's really them that's seeking out something different.
See, and that's it. That's that second premise. That is, separate you from your current level of satisfaction with life. And then number two, show you something that is simple and easy. And that's the key hook for both fad diets, frankly. This is simple, and 12 simple steps to a happier life.
Well, John, we'll go ahead and pick up there in just a moment, because I really want to ask you about, you know, are there self-help programs out there that are beneficial for folks versus ones that are not? If somebody is unhappy and frustrated, where should they turn to for advice? As well as, you know, what people should look for in programs. But I need to take a break. So will you hang out through the break and come back with me in just a moment?
Certainly. I'll be right here.
We'll be right back with John Curtis after this message. The one book that I recommend above all others is Robert Cialdini's Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. In this book, Dr. Cialdini reviews several different ways that you can influence the behavior of other people. Can you imagine reaching out and getting somebody to do something because they want to do it? And it's all in this book. This book is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon.com, really booksellers everywhere. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it's all about getting people to do what you want them to by convincing them that it's something that they've wanted to do all the time. It's pure magic. And Robert breaks down each of the methods of influence, the ways that you can do it, and also he tells a lot of great stories to make it easy to understand. Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Go out to a bookstore near you or Amazon.com and get it today. So many business books and management books talk about win-win and things that really sound great to university professors that just don't seem to work in real life. That's why Dan Kennedy wrote the book, The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits, the ultimate no-holds-barred, kick-butt, take-no-prisoners guide to really getting rich. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. It's by Dan Kennedy, where he reveals the insights of why so many business owners get run over by their employees, they get ripped off by their vendors, and they get shysted by their customers. And the insights in this book are extremely revealing because Dan doesn't lie. He's not sugarcoating the truth, but instead he's giving you the real facts of how businesses really operate. The No BS, Ruthless Management of People and Profits by Dan Kennedy, available Amazon.com, BN.com, and bookstores everywhere. When your customers are being barraged with marketing advertisements from every assorted customer, Budweiser, PayPal, Amazon, goodness knows, Geico, all of these companies are barraging your customers with marketing messages. How are you supposed to stand out and get attention when you've got all of these other competitors, not just within your business, but also outside of your business, competing for the attention of your customer? Well, let me tell you, it is through the book, Outrageous Advertising, Marketing That Is Outrageously Successful by my friend Bill Glazer. He authored this book after reviewing thousands of marketing pieces, taking the things that he was successful with, getting customer attention in his retail business, as well as others. It's available on Amazon.com and bookstores everywhere. Outrageous Advertising That's Outrageously Successful by Bill Glazer. Pick it up today. We're back here on Business Nation Radio. I'm your host, Robert Scrobe. My guest is John Curtis. He is with the Americans Against Self-Help Fraud, and he says that you can help yourself instead of helping out the self-help industrial complex by buying all of their stuff. Welcome back to Business Nation Radio, John.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Now, somebody's out there, they're frustrated with their job. They, you know, maybe their boss is giving them heck, and man, they're just unhappy. What should they do? How do they get out of that situation, build their life and improve their life if they, you know, these self-help things are not the answer?
Well, now, here's the part that might drive you crazy. I'm not saying the self-help isn't the answer, but as you said earlier before the break, you have bought a lot of these books. I would say the book is a tool in the toolbox, along with friends, family, mentors. Ask others, if you got to buy a book because there's no other resource, then use the principles of the book before you buy another one.
Oh, that means I actually have to read it, too.
Well, yeah, that helps, but you know, the market for the self-help industry is a subset of our population who will buy one book after another, just like fad dieters will try one fad diet after another.
And it really comes down to planning, research, and execution, not necessarily in buying the next book.
Yes, and the simple strategy, especially in the business world, now the corporate world knows it as the 360 evaluation where you get feedback from your bosses and your colleagues and your subordinates, but here's the key message. The number one stumbling block to self-development is self-deception. Find somebody who will be honest and authentic with you. That may be a therapist, that may be a good friend, but that's what you need to really develop yourself, whatever aspect of your life you're trying to develop.
My guest here on Business Nation Radio is John Curtis with Americans Against Self-Help Fraud. His website, if you want more information, is www.selfhelpfraud.com. Now, John, how did you get interested in this? Did you buy a bunch of these books, or you know, how is it that you become aware of the self-help business and industry?
Well, I really got it. I'm a child of the 60s. I got involved in the 1960s, and I think there was a bit of, excuse my philosophizing about it and even romanticizing, there was a certain beauty about the spiritual development that came out of the 1960s. What really pushed me over the edge was the publication of the book called The Secret a couple of years ago,
right,
which is an absolute, just a bunch of hogwash and lies. And the woman who wrote the book made about $90 million off of sales of the book. And that's what pushed me over the edge to try to do something about this.
So it was just so frustrated seeing these folks that, I mean, really the premise of the book or the movie, The Secret, is that you become whatever you think about the most.
Well, Yep, that's it.
And certainly, if that were true, you know, there's an old joke, you know, because this the whole concept behind The Secret is really something that is it's been written about, the magic of believing, the power of positive thinking. It's been around for a long time. But the old joke is, well, if I become what I think about most, well, then you better be careful, because that means I'm going to turn into a woman any moment now.
That's good. I like that.
And so seeing The Secret, and of course there was a famous snafu a few weeks ago about one of the folks that were featured in the movie The Secret, and a couple of people unfortunately tragically died in a sweat structure that they were finding themselves by sweating in a sauna.
Yes, and I think that, see, back to the consumer awareness here, this is not unlike Ralph Nader in the 1960s with Unsafe at Any Speed, where he found that the Corvair automobile was dangerous, and eventually, due to his efforts, they no longer manufactured it. The key thing is, if you're looking for a self-help resource, do they have the education? Most all of these self-help gurus, James Ray, the gentleman who, and unfortunately it's up to 3 deaths now, had absolutely no psychological training or education whatsoever in the field that he was studying. Look for the education and look for the price tag. He was asking $9,000 plus to attend his events. You shouldn't be asking that much money for these kind of events if you're truly at what you're doing and you're not a charlatan.
Well, I don't have any particular problem with people asking for expensive fees, but you certainly should be able to deliver results and be able to help these big breakthroughs. But I don't know, John, maybe you and I need to get into this business if you can charge those kind of fees and deliver so little. That might be better.
Yeah, and that's the key. See, there's no point of entry that's required. Like any other profession, if you want to be a lawyer, you want to be an accountant, you want to be a financial investor, they all have this rites of passage that you've got to go through. You need the college education. You need the state certification. You need the license. You need to be a member of these self-help gurus have none of those requirements. It's a completely unregulated industry. Anybody can get in it tomorrow. Launch the website and say, I've got the key to your happiness.
Now, what's next for you? John, how are you going to get the word out and let folks know that they really don't need all of these things, but instead their secret to success lies within them?
I think what we're doing right now is raising people's level of awareness and remind them of the way it used to be done, and that is to ask friends and family and loved ones and colleagues and mentors, and quit biting the hook that, you know, these experts know more than you and they've got something you don't already know. Develop your critical thinking skills. You know, ask the tough questions of these individuals and really look for truth in advertising. You know, miracle solutions. Well, could you give me some testimonials? Studies show. Well, could you send me the study? Just ask those tough questions. As much information you would seek in buying a new high-definition TV at your local retailer, at least have that mindset.
And track down, and it's really more than just testimonials, because, you know, any of these gurus probably have folks that will say, you know, what a great guy they are. You're really looking for big breakthroughs. And so, John, thank you so much for giving us a big breakthrough today and increasing our awareness of self-help and self-help industry. If you want more information, visit John's website at selfhelpfraud.com. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks for having me. See you.
We'll be right back with your Profitable Business Truth after this. This is Robert Scrobe, your host of Business Nation Radio. I grew up in the offline world. I watched as everyone was all excited about the internet and online marketing. And at the time, I mostly saw using the internet as some sort of fad. A lot of people were excited about online marketing, but direct mail, telephone, and fax were still more effective at generating new customers. But in the last few years, I've seen the internet blossom into a business building machine. I've created websites that are just like ATM machines, except better. These machines put money into my account every day automatically. That's why I co-authored the book about internet marketing titled The Official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet. This book outlines the exact steps I use to create websites that generate new customers and money. I'm not a web programmer. I got a guy who does all that techie work. That's what I want to teach you in my book. The official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing on the Internet teaches you how to create a website and understand what you need to give to the techie guy, how to evaluate what he or she creates, and how to give them the instructions on finalizing it for the web. For more information about the book, including a video of me by my pool, a webinar revealing the secrets of successful sites, and several success stories, visit the book website at www.internetinformationmarketing.com. For years, I looked at claims about the internet with skepticism. I tested a lot of things, but got better results from offline marketing. But in the last 3 years, the tide has really changed. Now there are a lot of people on the web, and millions of them are buying things. There isn't any reason why they couldn't be buying from you. To get them to buy from you, visit www.internetinformationmarketing.com. The site again is internetinformationmarketing.com. Check it out today. So should we resist and educate people about the dangers because we don't like something? It's interesting. This is Robert Scrobe, your host for Business Nation Radio, and I think it's kind of interesting to reflect on John Curtis's comments, and he was our guest, and I certainly want to pay him every respect, but we got to think through his arguments for just a moment. So if I don't like green draperies, and really I don't really like green draperies, and I see people spending money on green fabric for draperies, and maybe very often thousands of dollars to put green draperies up, should maybe I create an organization, Americans Against Green Draperies, and educate people about why they really don't need green draperies in their house? It's kind of an interesting thought. Now, I understand that a lot of this self-help may not be productive. Maybe it's not helpful, but who are we to judge what somebody spends their money on? And if, by golly, they want this information, they should be able to buy it just the same as they should be able to buy green draperies if they want, heaven forbid. And I'm with Ayn Rand on this one. Of course, we had Ann Heller was our guest, author of the book called Ayn Rand and the World She Made. And we talked a lot about Ayn Rand and what her life was like and what she's meant for our country and the entire movement against government regulation and people weighing in on what other people are doing with their money. And you know what? I am with Ayn Rand on this. I think if somebody wants to buy something, that the entire reason the self-help movement exists, the entire reason that those individuals are selling $10,000 retreats is because people want those experiences. People want that information. And whether we believe it is helpful or not doesn't really matter. It's what the person with the money wants will determine whether or not there is a sale. And the same arguments that Mr. Curtis makes about the self-help gurus, you know what, could really be made about the church, and actually are being made about the church. You know, every church that exists has its critics that say that what they're teaching in that church is unhelpful, and that all the pastors and preachers and priests are doing is really just getting money from people by giving them things that they don't want. Well, I tell you what, those people would not be at the church if it were not something that they would want. And you could argue all day that those people are, in the self-help world or being brainwashed or being brought along with false promises. But the fact is they want to believe in those promises. They don't want John or me or anybody else to try to dispel them. In fact, they're going to resist every temptation that we have in order to continue to believe it. Now, coming up next week on Business Nation Radio, I actually have an interview with a lady, Jennifer Burns, who actually wrote another biography all about Ayn Rand, and it's called Goddess of the Market, Ayn Rand and the American Right. And it's interesting because Jennifer has a little more of a critical perspective of Ayn Rand and the ideas that she shared with her readers. So it'll be really interesting to kind of see that. And also coming up, we have some more marketing information information advertising things that you can do to really advance your business, to get attention, and to break through the clutter. Do you have any comments about our Business Station Radio program? Go visit my blog and post a comment at the blog. My blog address is robertskrobe.com. That's robertskrobe.com. And check out the blog post for this program. It's called Freedom Versus Control. I thought that was a neat title for our program today. And post a comment. Let me know what you thought about the program. Let me know what you think about Business Station Radio, or give me an idea about a future program, because this program is all about you. It's all about helping you make more money so that you can go home earlier to spend more time with your family. That's what we're here about on Business Station Radio. Until next week, I'm your host, Robert Skrobe, for Business Nation Radio.